This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our work through the Psalter, considering Psalms 123 through 127. I lift up my eyes, our help is in the name of the Lord, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, home with shouts of joy, and unless the Lord builds the house. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy and hear us.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord is gracious in all His ways, and kind in all His works. I will extol You, my God and King, and bless Your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless You and praise Your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend Your works to another, and shall declare Your mighty acts.
On the glorious splendor of Your majesty, and on Your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of Your awesome deeds, and I will declare Your greatness.
They shall pour forth the fame of Your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of Your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made. All Your works shall give thanks to You, O Lord, and all Your saints shall bless You.
They shall speak of the glory of Your kingdom, and tell of Your power, to make known to the children of men Your mighty deeds, and the glorious splendor of Your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all His words, and kind in all his works.
The Lord upholds all who are falling, and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season.
You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of thing.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Lord is gracious in all his ways, and kind in all his works.
A reading from Luke chapter 10. In that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then turning to his disciples, he said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you were in a congregation with the three-year lectionary last Sunday, you will recognize that the text you just heard is a parallel text to that gospel reading from Matthew chapter 11. In Luke's gospel, unique to Luke's gospel, however, is the position of this teaching of Jesus immediately following the return of the 72, whom Jesus had sent out two by two to extend his preaching and healing ministry beyond the 12 apostles. Luke notes that the 72, this is immediately before our text, returned with joy that even the demons were subject to their actions done in the name of Jesus. And then, right before our text, Jesus redirects them to the true source of joy, not their power over Satan and the fallen spirits, but listen to what he says. Do not rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Luke then notes in our reading the teaching of Jesus. And I read it once again. In that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. You see here that Jesus is practicing what he just preached to the 72. He's rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. The source of joy for the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is not power over Satan and fallen spirits, but revealing grace and mercy in Jesus Christ to people, even babies, that they receive the gift of faith and have salvation from the bondage of sin. The Greek word here is napios, which The ESV translates little children, but is better rendered babies, infants. And what a beautiful testimony to God's grace shown even in to infants in infant baptism. Salvation is not dependent upon our understanding, our assent, but the Father's gracious work through the Holy Spirit of revealing Christ and creating faith. Faith is a gift and a work of God. God's work of saving sinners is to be also our source of joy, just as it is Jesus, the Holy Trinity's source of joy, and the joy that he is putting before the 72 who had returned from their mission. If all heaven rejoices over one sinner who repents, something Luke also emphasizes from the teaching of Jesus, then all saints in worship should be rejoicing over each and every baptism, rather than checking their watches and worrying about the fact that the service will be 10 minutes longer. Rejoice in the grace of God. There's also a lot of Trinitarian theology taught in these brief words from Jesus. We've already heard this statement, that Jesus, the Son, rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father." This is beautiful testimony to the unity of being within the Holy Trinity among the three distinct persons. But the heart of Trinitarian theology that's taught here in this text is found in these words of Jesus: "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Father is except who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." This sentence is sometimes referred to as the Johannine thunderbolt in the Gospels of Luke and Matthew, because it sounds so much like the teaching of Jesus recorded by the Apostle John in his Gospel, where he records things like Jesus saying, "No one comes to the Father except by me," or "No one has seen the Father except the one who is from the Father." Yes, here Jesus teaches a key interpretive principle emphasized by Luther and our Lutheran forefathers: the Christocentricity of revelation, and thus the Christocentricity of the scriptures that record that revelation. We come to know the mystery of the Holy Trinity through the Son, who speaks and acts all through human history, climactically in the incarnate Son, the flesh and blood Jesus Christ, in whom the fullness of God dwells. In spite of all that the scriptures reveal about the Son, Christians often say, I'm sure you've heard it, "Won't it be wonderful when we see the Holy Trinity, when we see God face to face on the last day?" But listen to what Jesus said to his disciples immediately after this teaching: "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many of the prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." As wonderful as it will be to see the Holy Trinity on the last day, face to face, Revelation 22:4 promises that, "Then we will see his face." What we will see then will not tell us more about God than what we have already seen in the crucified Jesus Christ. In the crucified Jesus, we see the depth of divine love and mercy. We see the very heart of the Father, and who gives us the Son for salvation. we will not see something more profound on that day than what has already been revealed to us in Jesus Christ. As wonderful as it will be, listen to the words of Jesus. Blessed are your eyes that see what you see now in the crucified Christ and the risen Christ for you. You know the Father and the Holy Spirit fully through this Son, this flesh and blood Jesus, true man and true God. So how should this teaching of Jesus impact your future pastoral or diaconal ministry? It reminds you that the source of joy in mission and ministry is the salvation of sinners. It's not those board meetings. It's not those other activities. It's the salvation of sinners through the gracious action of the Holy Spirit revealing himself in revealing God in the Son. Revealing God in Jesus through the washing of water, through his name in baptism, through the preaching and teaching of his word, and certainly through the Son's very body and blood given at the altar. We rejoice in each baptism, each absolution, each communicant, as the Holy Spirit works to reveal the Son, all of God's gracious mercy and love in the Son, through whom we know the Heavenly Father as our Father, our dear loving Father. It also reminds us that your task is not to convert people. That's God's work through his Spirit. But to testify to the Son, in whom the mystery of the true God is revealed fully. Blessed are your eyes that see what you have seen. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
Thank you.
I cry to you, O Lord.
In the morning my prayer comes before you.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me with willing spirit.
My mouth is filled with your praise.
And with your glory all the day.
Every day I will bless you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness.
O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
He redeems your life from the pit.
And crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
In our prayers, we remember Tyra Timmerman, cousin of Kara and Dennis Mertz, who in the midst of her treatment for leukemia is now battling a severe infection. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, your mercy attends us all our days. Be our strength and support amid the wearisome changes of this world, and at life's end, grant us your promised rest and the full joys of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O gracious God and Father, you hold our breath and lifespan in your loving hand, and from you proceed both health and sickness for our good. Sustain Tyra by your word, strengthen and quicken her that she may recover from this sickness, and save her from all infirmity according to your goodness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
I thank you,
my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul,
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.